veterinarian Richard J. Kiern has said, the only time I use an antibiotic is when the client insists on it. I thought that was funny. He says, with drugs, the animal has less of a chance of being cured than he has with natural therapy. Mm-hmm. Also, even in those cases where the drug does cure, the poor animal can be suffering for a week or two, whereas with vitamin C and other nutrients, he can be well in 3 days, end quote. H.H. Robertson, DVM, said, quote, bacteria do not attack a healthy body. Most doctors worry about the bacteria. I do not treat the bacteria. I treat the animal, end quote. That was awesome. I like that quote.
Yeah.
And Michael W. Lemon, DVM, said, quote, with upper respiratory tract diseases, I get 90% cure in early cases. However, notice the however here. I want you to listen to this. If the animal has already been treated with antibiotics and other drugs when I get to see him, my successful results drop to about 75%. That's a 15% drop just because they've been treated with antibiotics.
Yep.
Dr. David Stewart, who is PhD and Doctor of Natural Medicine, wrote the Healing Oils of the Bible book, and we're going to be quoting from that book a lot today because it's awesome what he has to say about this subject. But he said, quote, when we have recovered from an illness with the help of antibiotics, the invading organisms may have been destroyed, but our immune systems have also been depressed. This makes us more susceptible to the next invasion of bacteria, fungus, or virus. Let's define what antibiotics are first, because people, we'll say probiotic to people and they go, pro what? But they know antibiotics, let me tell you, because it's been so overused in our society, in Western civilization, period.
Well, probiotic means for life.
Right, right.
And antibiotic is against life.
Well, so the simple definition is anti means against and biotic means life. So quite simply, antibiotic means against life. That should be our first clue that this can't be a good thing. Okay. Now, they are supposed to be used against bacterial life, but notice that you'll go to the doctor for a cold and they will give you, and that's viral, and they'll give you an antibiotic. They do the same with our animals nowadays.
Yeah.
They give you an antibiotic for everything. If they don't know what it is, and my own dog Shadrach was a good example, he had some weird skin thing, and I've talked about this before. He did a culture, didn't see anything under the slides. Well, I don't know what it is, it's idiopathic, so let me prescribe a topical antibiotic and an oral.
Yeah.
A topical and an oral for what? And I was dumb enough to use it.
Oh, their PAP prescriptions anymore is antibiotics and steroids.
So they're supposed to be used against bacterial life. You know, those scary bugs that cause sickness. That's what we think. But even the father of antibiotics, which was of penicillin, Louis Pasteur, he recanted the saying, the germ is nothing, the terrain everything, but already the allopaths have latched on to the theory because they found a panacea that they thought would cure everything infectious. What he meant when he said the germ is nothing and the terrain everything, remember the bacteria is considered the germ or the pathogen.
Right.
So he was saying the germ isn't the problem, the body is the problem. The body, meaning that, you know, it's the state of the body, the plant, the animal, or the human body, that's what sets up the disease state and the susceptibility to these things. Okay, Dictionary.com defines an antibiotic as any of a large group of chemical substances such as penicillin or streptomycin, any kind. You know, they have all these names for them now.
Yeah.
You know, doxycycline, you go on and on and on, all the cyclines and all of the myosins and all of that stuff. Produced by various microorganisms and fungi, but again, we're talking synthetics nowadays. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're not typically using microorganisms and fungi. They're using synthetics manufactured in a lab nowadays.
Right.
Having the capacity in dilute solutions to inhibit the growth of or to destroy bacteria. Notice they didn't qualify the bacteria as good or bad. And other microorganisms used chiefly in the treatment of infectious diseases. But even though they said microorganisms and fungi, that doesn't mean that's what they're doing it with now. They use that to develop up their synthetics to try to mimic, and this is where the problem
is. Right.
So notice how, again, let's go back how it says that they state that the antibiotic is used to inhibit or destroy bacteria. They didn't qualify that by good or bad bacteria. Now, the good bacteria we all have, should have, to be healthy, we should have an 80% good bacteria colonizing our intestines in our body versus 20% so-called bad. Salmonella would be,
right,
and everybody knows what that is.
But
nowadays,
they're necessary.
There's a necessary balance of good and bad. Now, I can look out in the fields here where I live in the high desert, and I see beautiful plants growing out there. They're native plants. I also see weeds, and the weeds are probably prettier because they're all blooming. There is a reason for that. And again, often the weeds are what will give new nutrients needed into the soil for the plant.
Exactly. Absolutely right.
People are annihilating these weeds out of their pastures and out of their lawns, and that's the very thing that could be feeding their ground. And in fact, people will grow cover crops and then till those under so that there's enough nourishment in the soil for the food.
There you go.
We've really messed everything up. And the animals know which weeds they can eat, you know, when they've taught each other and been allowed to eat naturally in the wild, which ones to eat and which not to. That's what they pass down generationally. Here's what happens. We want the bad dead. There's still got to be some bad, not the good, but these synthetic, lifeless, robotic prescription antibiotics are non-discretionary. They kill all bacteria, good and bad, in the past. And for the most part, there are always going to be some survivors, and typically those are the bad ones that will survive because weeds are virulent, if nothing. They're strong and they're robust. They can survive with no water. You don't water them and they grow anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Well,
they're tough.
Yeah.
That's usually what's going to come back into your bodies, into your animals' bodies, is the bad stuff. This is why people feel worse after they've been on antibiotics and then they come down with something else and then something else and then something else. We hear people say, well, my dog has been on a round of antibiotics for a year. Oh my goodness. Why? Here's what happens. Then the bad bacteria survive and
right.
they grow resistant to the antibiotic and they pass that trait on to their offspring. This is how nature is designed to work. And so the resistance grows. In Star Trek, the parasitic robotic Borgs used to say, their famous saying was, resistance is futile. Surrender. Resistance is futile. It's the same thing with bacteria that grow more virulent because of our human interference into the natural order of things.
Right.
And we're causing ourselves to grow weaker and weaker in the process.
Well, they don't have the live, friendly bacteria to fight them off anymore. So they're able to take over. And Candida is a perfect example.
Oh, yeah. And that's why we see yeast all the time in all our pets. You know,
absolutely.
Yeast ears and yeasty everything.
The antibiotics knock out all of the Candida's competitors, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's able to regrow and multiply and spread in record numbers of time.
Absolutely.
And the antibiotics actually depress the immune system by decreasing the amount of white blood cells. We have to have the white blood cells to go and gobble up all the bad guys, right?
Yeah, and that's what depresses them.
They
depress them because they're creating, you know, they think it's an infectious thing that's happening there, and so
mm-hmm.
they've got to squash that, and so you got to get rid of the white blood cells. Well, that's crazy. So
Okay. Anyway,
Dr. Stewart, in his book Healing Oils of the Bible, said the reason resistant strains of bacteria develop is because, I repeat, of antibiotic drugs.
Mm.
So one might argue that we need these pharmaceutical medications so we can avoid plagues that wiped out entire cities and towns of yore, you know, leaving pandemics that are leaving away death in its path. So let's think about this. If we focus on the Black Plague, everyone has heard about that from the medieval times, right?
Mm-hmm.
For example, the majority of these people were malnourished and hygiene was not evident for the most part, not even amongst
right.
the so-called elite.
Right.
They used perfumes. That's why the perfumes were so big.
Mm-hmm.
They used that kind of stuff, the elite, to make themselves smell better, but they didn't wash, they weren't clean, and there was no hygiene. Okay, so when Pasteur brought forth penicillin, that was thought to be the panacea of all infectious disease. Hallelujah, we have found our miracle cure. But what he did in actuality was open Pandora's box.
No doubt.
Of destruction to mammals, not the bacteria they were thought they were going to annihilate. The bacteria, like most other living things, are going to work for the survival of the species, not the individual as the human being does. And what happens then is that all these species are going to survive, and we are not, and neither are any of the animals that we are subjecting this to, and the plants that we're subjecting it to, as far as using our pesticides and herbicides on everything.
Right.
We're annihilating everything through our incredible arrogance, and mankind is going to ignore these obvious ways that nature is designed to work and try to thwart her natural evolutionary effort that were designed for survival of the fittest and the strongest.
Mm.
They just completely ignore that when they're making these things. Bacteria are going to survive each new stronger antibiotic, then the bacteria then grows ever more virulent and stronger themselves, mutating and then thriving. As we said, it only takes a few of them to survive to pass on that survival trait to their offspring, and we know bacteria and germs outnumber us by multitude.
Absolutely.
And they're everywhere, so they're going to continue to survive and be ever more virulent as a result of our interfering. The reason why is because nature did not create these superbugs. We have, through our invasive and arrogant, albeit willfully ignorant, interventions that are based upon not health, you guys, think about that, not health for mankind, but to profit. The almighty dollar, hallelujah. through patent rather than utilizing nature's natural defenses and, of course, proper, not absolutely insane hygiene. Where do you guys think is the most infectious place you can visit?
Hospital or veterinary clinic.
There you go. With the most virulent strains they're living right there in the hospital. Mm-hmm. All while scientists are trying to create these more virulent antibiotics to combat this, there's a gap there between what's happening in the hospitals and veterinary clinics to where they're trying to create stronger antibiotics.
Right.
They're ignoring nature's evolutionary process, survival of the strongest and fittest. And then they're setting up infections to, even if you go visit someone in a hospital, you get infected just from the
Right.
That's why these people in the hospitals are always sick that work there. As for gaining a foothold on staving off the virulence, guess what? Humankind is losing this battle faster than a
speeding bullet.
Superman. Speeding bullet. Right. Faster than a speeding bullet. They are evolving superbugs because we are willfully ignorant humans with our hubris.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to explain why this happens, because of supposedly man-made antibiotics were supposed to model nature's antibiotics but be stronger and better, because they could be duplicated repeatedly like a little assembly line, right? One thing to note is that we cannot, will not ever be able to improve upon what God already created in perfect synergy in the earth. Never. It's sheer folly and arrogance for us to ever believe or think that we could do otherwise. But mankind continues down this path because they worship at the altar of money, okay?
Kidding.
And profit. Just by stating scientifically that there is no creator, they think that that eliminates that as superstitious. But I'm just going to share again from Dr. Stewart's book on antibiotics from page 70 in his book. The reason why is, here's what happens, is they create these antibiotics and they're manufactured. They consist of a specific chemical makeup and they're identical in every batch that's manufactured. And what this is called is pharmacological purity. And they take pride in this, the drug companies, by the way.
Of course.
Yeah. And they want a physician using their product to know, and this is from the book, that when he or she prescribes a drug, it's going to be exactly the same year in and year out without fail. And therein lies the problem right there. Medical scientists don't like to test anything in nature, things like essential oils or herbs, because they introduce an uncontrollable variable into the equation, because nature's antibiotics were designed to evolve with nature.
Right.
And they're never going to be patentable, therefore never profitable, therefore never making lots of money, and they get people and animals well.
Yeah. Hope you guys are catching this.
So the very characteristics that doctors and scientists and pharmaceutical companies value as the most valuable characteristic is the very thing that makes them eventually useless and actually cause grave harm to our long-term health. The people and animals that are on antibiotics are a risk to the rest of us that don't think about that. They're also finding that, for example, because of what happens with these drugs, they're going to cause serious dangerous side effects in pregnant women, in the elderly, and so forth. And these are, typically the elderly are the ones who are being given these.
Mm-hmm.
They're dying from heart failure because of drug interactions.
Right.
Remember that iatrogenic death, which is death by doctor, really, death by properly prescribed medications, taking them properly prescribed, is the fourth leading cause of death in the United States today, with over 200,000 deaths per year. And antibiotics lead that.
Yep.
And the interactions, because the contraindications with the drugs,
right.
I'm not willing to risk my life that way, personally.
No. Well, even without the interaction with the drugs, you know, antibiotics have their own side effects. The most popular one is diarrhea, irritable bowel syndrome.
Oh, yeah. I remember those days.
Yeah. What happens is the antibiotics inhibit the availability of certain vitamins in the body that are necessary for life. B vitamins, for example, vitamin A, folic acid, zinc, and magnesium. And then when you get diarrhea from, as a side effect of taking antibiotics, the loss of these vitamins becomes even more serious. It leads on to other skin disorders and fevers and elevated white blood cell counts, because they're trying to make, your body's trying to make more white blood cells as they're being destroyed. A weakened immune system, vomiting, dehydration, potassium deficiencies, allergies, bad breath, eczema. Sorry, I can't talk today. Yeast infections, nutritional deficiencies, sometimes constipation can all be minor side effects.
Notice that
are linked to antibiotics.
And eczema, yeast and
yes.
Eczema. Now, we see in our pets today huge problems with skin problems and
yes. Yeasty
ears. Man, that is probably one of the number one complaints that we get from clients.
It is. I couldn't count how many clients I have.
Almost every client we have ends up, mm-hmm. they come, one of the things they come to us for is yeast ears.
Yep.
We even see this in animals that are being naturally reared that maybe have our only first generation or second generation,
mm-hmm.
because that yeast has been passed on from the mother to the baby.
Right.
And it's systemic, and it's very aggressive, because remember what we said about weeds. Weeds will grow, and this bad bacteria is then created stronger by our interference by using antibiotics instead of probiotics or pro-life things.
Right.
Natural antibiotics, and I don't even like calling them natural antibiotics, because they're immune boosting and they're immune supporting, and they don't in any way harm the good bacteria in your body.
Exactly.
They get rid of the imbalance. They rebalance your body so that the body can do its own healing. They're really immune support more than antibiotics.
They're truly probiotics.
They really are. Of course, Jeannie and I are very enamored of using the essential oils. We know what kind of power and efficacy they have in them.
No doubt.
And they are the most ancient medicine ever used on record.
Mm-hmm.
And we use the ones by Young Living. Those are the only ones we use and recommend to our clients, especially for the internal use. So here's the difference. And I'm going to share from page 74 in Dr. Stewart's book. He says, antibiotics are robots. Essential oils are alive. Antibiotics are not alive. He says, they don't have any intelligence. He goes, a true therapeutic grade essential oil is smart. It can tell the bad guys from the good ones. Our bodies function normally and in health with the help of millions of friendly bacteria that live in our intestines and elsewhere in our body. Antibiotics kill off everything. Like I said earlier, they just indiscriminately kill off everything. Killing machines, they're brainless robots, called them, and they are made by fallible men. But the oils are not. They are living things. You know, they're the life force of the plant, and they very much match and can go into our bodies, into our animals' bodies, and correct things, the imbalance, sacrifice themselves, basically, so that the body can utilize them and put in back into place. It's kind of like if you have, instead of look at a puzzle and there's a piece missing, the essential oil will go in and fill that plug.
Right. Yeah. And they seek out the weak part of the body that needs the help.
Right. We use the essential oils by Young Living, and pretty much all of them have immune-boosting qualities.
Mm.
Certain of them are more targeted to certain areas of the body, but they all will go in and work in the body. So that is our number one choice. Colloidal silver is another choice, very inexpensive way to use. It might take a little longer in some cases than with the essential oils, but we use that for ears and eyes because we don't use the essential oils in the ears or eyes.
Right.
So we will use the colloidal silver that way and also drink it orally, you know, take it internally. So this is something I like to use definitely for any ear and eye challenges. Bovine colostrum is another really good immune boosting thing product to use. Various herbs, golden seal and echinacea are the two that come to mind first.
Right.
I don't know if you have any others, Jeannie, you want to elaborate on before we come to the end?
I don't. You touched on the most effective and widely used ones.
People will mention garlic, and Jeannie and I are fond of using garlics with our carnivore pets, with our herbivores.
Ourselves? Yeah.
Ourselves, omnivores and herbivores, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But with our carnivores, no. And the reason is because it's not something they typically would seek out on their own in nature, so it's not something we're going to add to their diet because we think we need to model the wild as close as possible. We know people who are with horses are modeling the wild horse model, and that's awesome because they're finding much more success with their horses in that respect.
Right.
Whereas with our carnivore pets, we have them in the home with us. We seem to want to make them into omnivores or even herbivores like us, which causing grave harm to them. There can be a hemolytic anemia that can be caused from too much garlic in their diet as well.
That's right.
So it's not something we typically want to recommend, and for that very reason. I'd imagine a little tiny bit if somebody's trying to get through a flea situation, but remember, fleas and ticks are going to be attracted to an immune-compromised animal.
Right.
And if they're down in their immune system for whatever reason, then try to boost it. And that would be ImmuPro, Inner Defense, and Longevity Capsules.
Mm-hmm.
Those three have been awesome, and they're great for you if you have a cold. I would
take
Inner Defense and ImmuPro and Longevity Capsules any day over an antibiotic.
Yeah,
and
they work extremely quickly.
Quickly, in a powerful, natural approach that you just, it boosts your immune system. You can feel when your body's going down. So boost it up before it ever gets there, and you'll never have to experience that cold.
There you go.
Or even worse things like flu and pneumonia later on. You know, so they're a great choice, and you won't cause harm to your body.